Hello and welcome to Health Equity Matters HIV Australia podcast. My name's Harrison, and in today's episode, we're in the mood for reflection and celebration. And we're also going to answer the age-old question, how many drag queens does it take to celebrate four decades of service? This year marks 40 years of service by HIV/AIDS councils and LGBTQ health organisations across Australia. One of those incredible organisations is ACON. Established in 1985, ACON is a New South Wales-based LGBTQ health organisation that's focused on creating opportunities for LGBTQ people to live healthier, more connected lives. Today, I'm very lucky to be joined by ACON CEO Michael Woodhouse, and together we're going to reflect on the past four decades, looking at the HIV epidemic in New South Wales and the creation of ACON, before turning to how ACON is celebrating its 40th birthday and how you can be part of the celebrations. Michael, it's a pleasure to have you on the podcast today. Thank you so much for joining me. How are you?
I'm doing really well, Harrison. Thanks so much for the invitation. It's really great to be talking about these fantastic stories of our community.
Absolutely. For those of us joining us from different parts of the country, tell us a little bit about ACON and who ACON is and who ACON supports.
Yeah, so like many of the long-standing HIV and AIDS organisations, ACON was formed 40 years ago in that initial response to the HIV epidemic at a time when our communities knew that we needed organisations who were up for the really significant challenge that was then ahead of us. Mm-hmm. Since that time, we've continued to do great work in response to HIV, both HIV prevention and for people living with HIV over the last 40 years, but expanded our work as well into many of the other issues that are facing the LGBTQ community right across the spectrum of needs.
And that work, you know, that breadth of work, it just wouldn't be possible without the many incredible people that work at ACON. As the CEO of ACON during this really critical time and this milestone, what has it meant for you personally to, you know, be celebrating 40 years of service?
Look, I'm thinking about our 40th anniversary really as a story of community. This is a remarkable story of how much our communities have changed over the last 40 years, and a story that ACON has been a part of, but it's not just ACON's story. So like so many more of our organisations, we were created by community to take action on something that mattered so importantly at the time. And I think the strength of so many of our organisations that we've evolved over the years to respond to some of the other really, really important health issues, social connection issues that matter for our communities, whether that be violence, whether that be mental health care, whether that be cancer. There are so many issues and health inequities that face our communities. I think it's quite a remarkable story that these organisations set up 40 years ago have been able to grow and change and evolve, but stay true to that idea of community control, being formed by the lived experience of our communities to do meaningful things about health and social connection.
Absolutely. And being able to hold that position within the lives of so many of our community is something that I think is very, very unique to a lot of Health Equity Matters members and to organizations such as ACON. I'm interested, you know, I kind of heard glimmers of it in what you were describing, but if you were to kind of articulate to the audience, why is it that you think ACON has been trusted and allowed to hold such an important role in the lives of many of our community for so long, for 40 years now?
Look, part of the reflection process, Harrison, has been going back through, you know, some of our archives and the books that have been written. There's a fantastic quote from Lex Watson, one of the really early activists in the Sydney gay community, who gave a speech at the big meeting where community members came together to decide whether or not to form ACON and to bring together some of the organisations that were already responding to the HIV crisis in Sydney. Mm. Lex talked about the importance of creating an organisation that was accountable to community, that was able to unite people, because for the crisis that was coming to us, being united and together was going to be so desperately, desperately important, and that was able to mobilise resources at a scale that was somehow comparable to the problem. So that's the reason, I think, to have brought together organisations at the time, so that we were going to be able to respond to the size of the problem that was coming towards us. I think there's something really interesting in those three limbs and things that are quite true about today. So we are at our best, and I think many of our colleague organisations in other states are at our best when we are intimately connected to the communities that we serve, when we deliver health and social connection programs from the perspective and the lived experience of our communities. And when we do that work to try and mobilise resources so that we can actually have a meaningful impact at the size and scale that we need to promote the health and well-being of our communities. I think there's something really critical in those early days that just holds true. And by understanding those parts of our story, we continue to have the opportunity to do fantastic work now.
A lot about the history of ACON and the fact that, ACON really was a response to the AIDS epidemic in New South Wales, but also in Australia, and that was led by community. I'm interested, are there other lessons that you've gleaned as a part of that journey?
Look, I think what makes many of our organizations successful is that we've had really important partnerships with the research community, with government, that we've tried to do the hard work about finding the programs, the interventions, the campaigns that actually make a difference at each point in time. It's really important, I think, when you're doing this work to make sure that we're applying quite a really high degree of rigor, that we understand the problems that we're trying to solve, that we design the work that we do focused on the most important priorities for our communities at each point in time. If I bring that into today, that means we've got lots of really concrete challenges that we want to be addressing. There's still a bit of work to do in HIV prevention in this country, and certainly in New South Wales. And for us to achieve that fantastic goal of virtual elimination, we're really going to need to make sure that our prevention efforts reach overseas-born gay and bisexual men, whom we know are not sharing the benefits of prevention as equally as other members of our community. One of the things we're trying to do during our 40th season is inform more people in the general community about the issues facing our health and social connection today. So there are things like U equals U. I think many people in our community still don't quite understand that. That the vast, vast, vast majority of people living with HIV are on treatments, are undetectable, and that they can't pass on HIV to a partner. We want to let people know about the importance of gender-affirming care. So we know that gender-affirming care saves lives. We know that that's a matter of public debate at the moment, but we want people to know that gender-affirming care is something that is giving the current generation of trans and gender diverse people the opportunity to live lives that are authentic and align with their own reality. We need to keep telling people about the value of inclusive spaces. So ACON runs a very large program across the country looking at inclusion in workplaces. And some of the data we collect there tells us that actually people are less likely to be out at work today than they were a few years ago. It's really important that we continue to maintain effective work, building inclusion in communities. There's a real issue in our communities around mental health, and the need to prevent suicide. We know that the people that who people speak to, and whether or not people speak to professionals, peers who really understand their lived experience, makes a really significant difference in their outcomes. It's important that right now we come together to build up those services. And look, finally, I think we've really got a lot of work to do for women in our communities. So we do need to be mobilising resources around addressing the women's health needs in our communities. We have models that can work. It's time for us to be able to scale up, to be able to meet the needs and the demands of women in our community that are really very largely unmet.
Are there any other kind of key challenges that ACON's excited to rise to that you've got your sights set on? The inside scoop, if you will.
Look, I think one of the things that's one of the great successes of so many of our organisations is the role that we played working with many others in building community. When I think about for ACON, and I know many of our colleague organisations have run very similar programs, the generations of young gay men who have come through programs, we variously called them Fun and Esteem and Spark and various others, but workshops and programs that have helped young gay men to find their way in the world for the first time, learn about sexual health, also learn about relationships, as well as learning about, drag queens and sex on premises venues and what happens in bars and all of those things.
Gasp.
I think that's really fantastic and valued work. And what it says to me is that the importance of our community, creating spaces for people to come together, particularly at those times when people are exploring and understanding their identity, are really, really important. That work needs to continue in the future. It's not such a long way away from the work that I know needs to be done to support people who may be coming to understand their trans identity. It's not so different from, people of all ages who are coming to understand elements of their sexual identity and wanting to find other people to connect with. I think what's interesting, though, is that actually we need to mobilize the resources to be able to support that really fantastic community development work, whether that be in regional communities, whether that be in people coming together to discuss being of certain sexual and gender identity and people of faith, whether that means, cultural groups who are connecting with one another to understand what it means to be, queer and Arab or, a range of the ways in which, we might be wanting to connect people. That community development work is incredibly important and something I'd love to see us do more of. And we're really going to need the support and the help of our communities to make that happen.
I'm so excited to see what ACON is bubbling away. There's always 50 things bubbling away, but really excited to see some of the really exciting community spaces that you're looking to create, which is actually a really great pathway into talking about ACON 40. So
Sure.
I found myself clicking onto acon40.org.au. That's acon40.org.au. Everyone, please click on it right now and have a look. And I was blown away. You've got a month and a bit worth of celebrations. Is that right? Have I got that right?
Look, we've got 8 weeks of programming that we're only just into as we're recording this podcast. And look, that was a pretty deliberate decision on our part of we really wanted to create a bit of a season for anyone and everyone who wants to come in and connect from our communities, to tell the stories, to remember, to reflect, to celebrate, to laugh, to remember people that we've lost across those years. This is a community story. ACON's just a part of it. And we really wanted to create a really broad range of spaces for people to tell different parts of that story. In a couple of weeks, we're going to hold a big hub at the Wharf, trying to explain that's the Wharf Theatre in Sydney for those who might be listening in New South Wales, in partnership with the Sydney Theatre Company. That's going to have a whole series of panels exploring things like care, coming out and inviting in, the experience of some of the trailblazers of our community, and the importance of queer stories in the arts and how that's changed over the last 40 years. The point really is that I think there's so many stories that people are interested in hearing and connecting. It is part of the stuff that connects us across the generations, that actually we are part of the same movement, all playing different roles, sometimes the next role in how it is we build health and connection in our communities, and we really wanted to see as much participation as possible.
There's actually a way for people to submit stories at the moment as well, if they've got their own stories that they would like to share as a part of ACON's 40th. Is that right?
That's right. So the ACON 40 website, we were hoping to give some digital presence to the stories that are happening there as well. So if you're interested, we have got a digital timeline on there trying to capture some of the major moments, some of the big campaigns, some of the events that happened over the years that I think have been really interesting for those who are there and fascinating for those who may not know all of that history. We're also really keen to capture people's stories. That might be a photo, a couple of paragraphs, something about your memories, your connection with things that have happened through our community story, through ACON story over the last 40 years. There's a lot of really fantastic, sometimes hilarious, sometimes slightly salacious stories that have happened through the years, things that might have happened on a campaign shoot or happened on the Mardi Gras parade route, or simply those really lovely stories about people who met some of their closest friends at a community program that was run, many, many years ago. We'd really love to hear more of those. I think anniversaries are a good time to get some of that material down, so that we've got a really good record of the people, the experiences, the lives that have made up this great community story.
Michael, that is just so incredible. Thank you so much for all of your work and the team's work at ACON for pulling this all together. That's a huge achievement. 8 weeks of nonstop events is quite crazy. I'm going to send over the Barocca and a foot massage voucher by the end of it because I'm pretty sure everyone will be, tired from running to and fro. But what an incredible service to our community. And thank you again for, ACON service to our communities over the past 40 years. It brings us to our last question of today. Michael, how many drag queens does it take to celebrate 4 decades of service?
Look, I'm not sure what the collective noun is for a group of drag queens, but I reckon the number there, look, it's got to be in the 20s, when you put them out across the various events. And I think what's really important is you've got to have as many as possible and giving everybody the chance to bring their particular glitz, glamour to this, frankly, pretty fabulous story.
Brilliant. A draggle, I believe, is the terminology for that.
I
What
like it. I'll be
a
using it
flock
from
of
here on in.
queens.